Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Robot Industry Podcast. My name is Jim Beretta, and I'm your host. And I'm thrilled today to tell you that we have two people on the podcast today, and I've asked them both to be together because they do a lot of work together. And the companies are Asriel from Switzerland and Mechademic from Montreal. So I'd like to introduce our two guests. The first guest is Lloyd Arnold, and he's the product marketing manager based out of Switzerland. He's had 15 years working with automation products across many industries. He's a product specialist in machine vision and 3D bin picking, and he's got a strong passion for application solving, born out of his beginning his career as an application engineering. And he's just recently relocated his family from the UK to Switzerland in the past year during the pandemic. So good for you, Lloyd, and that's Lloyd Arnold. I'd also like to introduce Stan Glazer. He's the Director of Applications and Support at Mechademic. He's got a background in mechatronics. He's worked with industrial robots for over the past 8 years, and he's focused on high precision applications. He's always wanted to work for a robot OEM. So when he heard about Mechademic starting up in Montreal, he was very excited. There's not very many industrial robot manufacturers in Montreal. So Lloyd and Stan, welcome to the podcast today.
Thanks, Jim. Great to be here. Thanks for having me. I'm Lloyd, and I love automation and technology. I like process improvement, and my passion is making things better and more efficient. The last 18 months, things have changed. I miss that smell of oil as you walk across the factory floor. I never thought I would, and I never thought I would say that either, but it's one thing I love about manufacturing and our industry, and it's getting to the front line, talking with the real superstars, those engineers maintaining and keeping our factories running. I think we all miss that interaction at machine level, and I certainly can't wait to get back out there.
Well, thank you, Jim. So my name is Stan, and I love robots. I've always known that I wanted to go into robotics. And like you mentioned, I was very happy when there was a company that opened up here in North America that produces industrial robots, because that means I didn't have to move to Japan or to Germany. I could literally walk down the street and work for a company that makes small robots. Just to put in perspective, Mechademic robots are very, very small. So they're the smallest and most precise robots in the industry right now. When they're folded down, to give you an idea, they're about the size of a sheet of paper. The controller is embedded in the base of the robot.
And we're happy to have you both here. And we're recording from Villa Saint-Pierre in Switzerland, as well as Montreal and London, Ontario. So we're kind of all around the world today. Lloyd, can you take a minute and introduce Asriel and what products and services that you're doing?
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks, Jim. So I represent Asriel. We are a Swiss company based in a modern technology park in Villa Saint-Pierre, which is in Canton Fribourg. We were born out of the watch industry, providing a solution for feeding very fragile parts. Our product is something called a flexible feeder. Now, when I say flexible feeder, some people might think of an all-you-can-eat buffet or a vending machine, but I can assure you our type of flexible feeder has nothing to do with this. A flexible feeder is about being flexible enough to feed. And when I say feed, we mean separate and singulate from bulk. Any type of parts, manipulating the orientation, ready for a robot to pick them. Our products are called Asa Cubes. They are vibratory platforms that allow you to delicately move parts from sizes of 100 micron up to 150 millimeters. And through the vibration sequence, they can change the part position and orientation for a robot to pick, just like the robot that Mechademic supply. The control of part quantity and how to vibrate the parts is managed by something called iPlus.
So let's talk a little bit about the world of miniature automation, as I don't think it's well understood. And that's one of the reasons I asked you both to be on the podcast today. And thank you both for coming on. From your perspective, Stan, what are some of the things that you're seeing in miniature automation? And I just want to tell the audience that I know Mechademic real well. I see you at trade shows, and I actually see that you can carry a robot around a trade show. So that's how small it is.
Yeah, well, for a long time, there hasn't been any robots, let's say, that are smaller than the standard 3 kg payload industrial robots. So if you had to manipulate parts, you know, that were 100 grams, 200 grams, 5 grams, or, you know, even half a kilo, you had to still purchase a robot that would take, you know, quite a lot of space. It'll have a huge control. You'll have big bulky cables around it. You'll have the teach pen that has to connect to it. So even if you had to manipulate small parts over small distances, you didn't really have many options except going through customized systems, so Cartesian systems or smaller Delta robots. But there hasn't really been before a six-axis robot made for the industrial market, because there has been, let's say, hobby robots for educational purposes before, but we're really talking about industrial robots, which means that are meant for, you know, 24/7 production, that they're reliable, that they could work in manufacturing and testing and exactly the same way as the bigger industrial robots, but on a much smaller scale. So this is where Mycademic found a niche, but it turned out to be quite a large niche. So we found a lot of different applications. We started in electronics, and then we moved into medical device. And actually, where we worked a lot with Azrael is in the watchmaking space in Switzerland. And to be honest, at first, when we went to a lot of the German trade shows, people kept thinking that a robot was a Swiss-made robot, but it's actually here, made in Canada.
And Lloyd, from your perspective, when you're making sorting equipment and feeding equipment for very small parts, and these are small gears and pins and this types of things, you're finding yourself doing like a desktop factory.
Yeah, I mean, Azrael was born out of the watch industry, where high quality, high changeover was a demand on small parts. If you look at the size of your wristwatch, there can be hundreds of different small parts used in the mechanism, including gemstones used as bearings in the watch movement. Often, watchmakers work at a desk, so presenting a small desktop machine that has a small footprint was very appealing. One of the very first applications was to reorientate gemstones for the polishing process. And these stones can be less than half a millimeter in size. And in my opinion, the evolution of factories is similar to the evolution of mobile phones. 25 years ago, you had this product the size of a house brick. Today, you have an entire computer in the palm of your hand that is much more efficient. Plus, no one wants a factory in front of their house. Space has become a premium. Our products are space savers, and we are changing the field in automation. And that old-style 25-year-old phone is no longer accepted. Engineers are seeking new, efficient methods to bring product into the assembly process.
And Stan, one of the advantages of having a small robot, whether your piece is small or whether the component is small, you can put it in places where traditional robots can't live, correct?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, our robot is the most precise robot on the market, but to be honest, the majority of people who or clients who get the robot is because of the small size. And that's, again, it's not just the robot body itself, but it's the controller, which we've managed to really modernize. We've managed to integrate very well into the base of the robot. So you can imagine when a customer gets this robot, they're a bit surprised. It doesn't come on a pallet, right? It comes in a small Amazon-sized box that makes logistics a lot easier. This obviously the space saving. So if we work in, we work in some clean room types of environments, that are very expensive on space, and you. And what's interesting with desktop factories is that you could add them to existing architecture or existing desks. So you already have an employee doing something. You could add a small factory next to them that does another part of the process. And you don't necessarily have to start from scratch and start building warehouses to get these automation systems into the company.
And I just want to continue on that conversation, Stan, for a moment. Yeah. What makes the robot so precise? I understand it's the drives they use.
Yes, it's the drive. So, to be honest, the major thing that makes it so precise is the size. So we've made a very rigid, very small robot. So if we made this robot, 10 times the size, it'll be more than 10 times less precise. It's the way it works in robotics. But we also We're also using very high quality components. So we're using Harmonic Drives from Harmonic Drive in Japan. We're using Maxon Motors from Switzerland. And the rest is actually made here in-house. So we CNC machine our own aluminum. We have our own electronics production. Our whole R&D team is in-house. So we have a very tight quality control over the whole assembly process of the robot. And it also helps that, our founder is Ilyan Banev, who's out of the ETS University here, and he was the Canadian research chair in precision robotics, so a lot of what he knew came into the product itself.
So this is a great example of commercialization coming out of academia and actually working, right?
Exactly. So the first robot the Macadamic actually released was a dual arm scanner. It was more on the educational side. But then we had a very big demand coming from the electronics industry because they also work with very tiny parts. But what's interesting is we kept some of that, you know, the ease of programming that was developed for the academic market, and we just implanted into an industrial robot, basically. So you have the ease of use from academia, but you have the reliability and the hardware from industrial robots.
What are some of the challenges and opportunities, Lloyd, that you see?
Sure. I mean, challenges we see, aesthetic quality, for sure. In the watch industry, a small scratch or imperfection on the inner workings would certainly affect the performance. This level of aesthetic quality is transferable into other industries like automotive. The controls, so the switches and dials, they have to look perfect, no cosmetic flaws. So this is an opportunity for our products to gently handle those parts and feed them for the assembly process. I guess another case, often when we speak of vibratory platforms and feeding, people think of vibratory bowls, you know, bowl feeders. And this is a mature technology. I really like it. They work for many applications, and it's the right technology to use sometimes. But some applications, specifically those with high part changeover or variability, then this is an opportunity to use flexible feeders.
Stan, what are some of the challenges and opportunities that you see at Macadamic?
So I would say one of the challenges that we've had since we've started with our small six-axis robot is just finding compatible tooling, compatible equipment, because everything so far that we've seen on the market has been big. So that means, you know, we have big grippers, big force sensors, big screwdrivers, and nothing that our robot could really handle to begin with. And that's why we've launched our Mecha Network to try to introduce people to, you know, the smaller components that are on the market. And this sort of brought in other companies that started developing products that are better fit for a robot, so smaller force sensors, again, smaller grippers, and other kinds of tooling. And in terms of opportunities, I would say we could now work with very, very small parts. So our robot, just to give an idea, is under 5 microns of repeatability, and that's with a 500-gram payload. But we could actually do, you know, increments of 1 to 2 microns. So this is we're able to do things that you can't really do. Well, a human can do, but you know, you have to work under a microscope. It's very tiring. And very difficult tasks that could now start to be automated. For instance, even in the watchmaking space, there's never been a huge use of robotics, and in jewelry, for instance, either. And this is something that we're starting to enter. So there's new markets that are opening up just because of the size of the robot, because of its precision as well.
Thank you. Lloyd, we'll switch to you for this for the question about the sectors. We've already mentioned like watchmaking and medical device. What are some of the other sectors that you're servicing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about your listeners, Jim, but I get excited when I see automation and robots moving anywhere. I mean, probably the first robot I saw in real life was the automated car wash. The gantry coming overhead, the brushes spinning. I guess it wasn't a factory and it probably doesn't count as a robot by some people's standards, but to me, it was magical. And I still love going through it today, especially as my kids love it too. So this passion for automation, I would love to find solutions for our technology everywhere. But I guess being more specific, we're building on our experience from the watch industry and facing the same challenges in other sectors such as automotive, medical, and electronics. And that is high flexibility with frequent part changeover. And when I talk about flexibility, I think of it like customization of our cars. You might have the same model car as someone in your neighborhood, but you won't have exactly the same specification, the same color, the same options. There will be differences. In fact, you probably won't see another car that is exactly like your car. So this level of customization applies across many industries, and using equipment like the AssiCube allows you to change quickly and efficiently. Another example, take windshield wipers. For example, globally, there's thousands of variants, so the fixing clips used can be different. A manufacturer of the wipers needs to adapt the cell quickly for different fixings for different vehicle manufacturers. In cosmetics, our customers might be producing a kit that contains some kind of applicator accessory, but the day after, the accessory is some kind of eye makeup pencil or a lipstick in a different housing. They need to adapt the work cell, and the common theme is efficiency, flexibility, and of course, being easy to use.
So it's really like the smart factory.
Absolutely.
I'd like to elaborate on that as well. So it's everything becomes more flexible if you start to use vision systems, if you use flexible feeders like from Azrael, and if you use six-axis robots, because they are the most flexible in the market. So this is compared to, let's say you're using a vibratory feeder with a standard Cartesian system. You know, you could, you'll do that one part, you'll do it quickly, but if you have to change it, the whole system has to be reconfigured, readjusted. You'll have to change pretty much everything in it. But if you're using a flexible feeder such as Azrael, you're using a vision system and you're using a six-axis robot, which could pick up the parts in a variety of different ways, then you could have this kind of high changeover between different parts. So this is where we work very closely with Azure and flexible feeders in general, because customers are looking for a very flexible solution, because they might run one type of parts, you know, for a few weeks, and then they have to change over to another type of parts, and they don't necessarily want to buy a whole separate machine to be able to do that.
Absolutely. Some good points there. So, Stan, I didn't ask you about some of the sectors that you service. So you mentioned medical device, obviously watchmaking. Are you into pharmaceutical, or what are you kind of looking at, or what are companies calling you to do?
Well, actually, a lot of what we've done, especially at the beginning, was electronics, and a lot of it was electronics testing. So California was one of our biggest markets. We work with the big players in the software industry there. That actually came from the fact that the robot is very easy to use for software programmers, because we don't have a proprietary programming language. So, you know, you could use Python or LabVIEW or C++ directly with the robot without having to do any kind of complicated handshake. So that's where we started off, and that's where we had a lot of demand. Then, yes, we went into medical device manufacturing, because also, you know, small parts require precision. You don't want the 3 kg robot to handle parts that are a few grams. Then we went into watchmaking with our partner there, Hovosis, who actually works a lot with Azrael as well. I worked on very, very small parts for the watchmaking industry. And then sort of expanded. So you wouldn't think that our robots are used in automotive, but they are, for instance. It's a lot of testing. So if you could imagine, you know, the buttons that you have for your car windows, for the volume controls on your steering wheel, for the touchscreen, we do a lot of touchscreen testing, turning knobs, pushing buttons with our robot. You know, you could do that 24/7, and it's very reliable. You could put a force sensor in it, so you could actually measure how much force you're applying. So that's been popular application. So I'd say it's very wide, and that could go into aerospace as well. If you imagine all the panels in an airplane cockpit that they have to test, it doesn't make sense necessarily to go with a huge robot either. So I would say it's a lot of testing, a lot of assembly operations. We do dispensing as well, so applying glue around the perimeter of any kind of part, screwdriving applications as well.
Thank you for that. Lloyd, I hear a lot about desktop factories, and so you live in this area. What's your perspective on desktop?
Yeah, I mean, we strongly believe in space saving. Macademic offer a small, compact robot, and Azrael, we offer the most compact, flexible feeder on the market. So you can create an efficient desktop factory with these products.
And do you see any trends in this, or any just general trends?
Yeah, absolutely. So space is a premium. Cost of land is increasing. Customers want to miniaturize equipment and manufacturing lines. When you have parts below 1 millimeter, who can feed this? We can. gently feeding parts as small as 100 micron on a compact, flexible feeder that saves space in the machine. That combined with the robot from Macademic, this offers a great solution for our customers.
I just wanted to add to that also, there's a lot of other benefits that comes from using, you know, small and compact components. Is sometimes you don't really think about it, but power savings. So for instance, our robot is using under 30 watts of power in general. So, you know, if you've used big robots, it's usually in the kilowatt range. And if you have 20 of those robots, they take an enormous amount of space. So maybe one robot is not so bad, but as soon as you start to multiply your production, apart from taking enormous amounts of space, so you can imagine, you know, you buy 20 robots, that makes 20 big controllers. That means huge cabling everywhere, teach pendants everywhere. But for us, you know, you could take I'm sitting at a conference room table here. I could take this conference room table and I could make a factory out of this conference room table, and I could plug it into a regular outlet and it'll pretty much work. So there's a lot of this, apart from this the space savings, there's the power savings. And then you also have to think of the logistics because, you know, a lot of companies, they move their office, they move their production inside their facility. If you have a lot of big robots, it's very difficult to move it around. For us, I mean, you pick it up, you could transfer it to another location very quickly. So we've seen cells where you have our robot, you know, the Astral feeder, the small assembly process, and it all fits into something that's like a meter cube about, just for one robot. And we've done applications, Jim, you might have seen it in one of our trade shows, but we had, you know, four robots in a 1 meter cube cell. So it's... These kinds of applications come with a lot of benefits.
And how do you both work together, Lloyd?
We share the same customers. It's a bit like my friends' friends are my friends. We at Azrael, we're doing the highly compact flexible feeder. Macademic are doing the highly compact robot manipulator. It's a case of how could we not work together?
So you probably get a call every once in a while, or maybe Stan, you get a call, or Lloyd, you get a call, and it's like, hey, let's do this project together, or maybe you're working with integrators together?
Yeah, exactly. So we have a lot of partners that both work with Azrael and with our robots. And what's interesting is, since both of our devices are technically considered slave devices, you could use any type of master. So we have certain integrators, you know, that in the US, for instance, I would prefer to use Allen Bradley PLCs to control both of them. And then if you go to Germany, we have Siemens and, you know, Beckhoff, which is very popular as well there. And a lot of them, because we offer these kinds of flexible programming options, I know Azrael offers a lot of plugins, and on our side, we also offer, you could communicate with the robot over TCP/IP, Ethernet IP, or EtherCAT. With no proprietary programming language. So it's up to the customer, it's up to the integrator or distributor to really decide, well, you know what, this PLC is the right fit for this application, and it integrates both products. I've also been talking with the technical team of Azrael in Switzerland recently, and with the iPlus coming out, we're going to try to support it a bit more closely together. We're probably going to go with a Beckhoff solution as well that integrates both of them.
Lloyd, I understand that Azrael was also born out of academia as well?
Absolutely, yeah. So our company founder, Alain Cordery, he was teaching at the School of Engineering in Biel. And the goal was to design a small assembly line for feeding small components, a microfactory. And Azrael was born from this research project.
And that's very interesting to know that you're both come out of academia. Ooh. And both doing tremendously well. So, Lloyd, how do people get a hold of you?
So, the usual ways, we have the website, azrael.com. We have the Azrael page on LinkedIn, the YouTube channel. I'm also quite traditional. I like to do some things the old-fashioned way. So, if someone wants to pick up the phone, I would be glad to have a conversation with them.
And Stan, how do people get a hold of you?
The best way is honestly to go through our website. We have a contact us section. If you fill that out, it goes to our team here. There's also the technical support. So if you have something more technical that you want to discuss, that actually goes to me and our team of applications engineers directly. And then I'm also quite available on LinkedIn. So if you ever find me on LinkedIn and want to talk to me, I'm usually available.
Well, thank you both for taking your time this morning. Our sponsor for this episode is Ehrhardt Automation Systems. Ehrhardt builds and commissions turnkey solutions for their worldwide clients. With over 80 years of precision manufacturing, they understand the complex world of robotics, automated manufacturing, and project management, delivering world-class custom automation on time and on budget. Contact one of their sales engineers to see what Ehrhardt can build for you. And Ehrhardt is ehrhardtautomation.com. You can get them at info@ehrhardtautomation.com. I'd like to thank and acknowledge our partner A3, the Association for Advancing Automation. The association is the leading trade association for the world of robotics, vision and imaging, motion control motors, and artificial intelligence technologies. Visit automate.org to learn more. And I'd also like to thank our partner Painted Robot. Painted Robot builds and integrates digital solutions. They're a web development firm that offers SEO and digital social marketing and can set up and connect CRM and other ERP tools to unify marketing, sales, and operations. And they're at paintedrobot.com. If you'd like to get in touch with us at the Robot Industry Podcast, you can find me, Jim Beretta, on LinkedIn. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Be safe out there. Today's podcast was produced by Customer Attraction Industrial Marketing, and I'd like to thank my nephew, Chris Gray, for the music, Chris Colvin for the audio production, my partner, Janet, and our partners, A3, Painted Robot, and our sponsor, Ehrhardt Automation Systems.